This morning, the gospel reading is found in Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 and following. It's the story of Jesus and the 10 lepers. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give thanks and praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. Well, this morning is Thanksgiving Sunday, and I want to think about being thankful and having thankful hearts. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this older couple had just gotten into bed, and the woman started to list all of her aches and pains, and the husband replied, "Really? I feel like a newborn baby." And the woman looked at him and said, "Are you kidding?" He said, "No. I'm bald, I have no teeth, and I think I just wet my pajamas." Well, some of it's just about perspective, isn't it? We think about Thanksgiving today and giving thanks. We think about folks long ago who gave thanks. And I think this story of the 10 lepers is really a perfect one to think about and give pause about having thankful hearts. And so to recap this story, Jesus was on his way from Samaria to Galilee. Along this way, there was a lot of tension between Samaritans and Jews. There was some racial tension, some religious tension. And while he was on the way, 10 lepers came to meet him. And they called out with a loud voice, "Master, have mercy on us." Now, you have to remember at this time, if you were found to have leprosy, just even the beginning of leprosy, you weren't allowed to go and see your family or friends. You couldn't go into town. You had to keep a distance. And whenever anyone would come near to you, you had to call out "leper." That's because the disease was so feared. And of course, it was about to be very, very contagious. And so people couldn't go anywhere near the village, couldn't go back to their friends, family, anything at all. And the only friends they had were, of course, other lepers. And so he had 10 lepers together. They were traveling, and they called out for Jesus to have mercy on them. And Jesus told them to go and to show themselves to the priest. Now, once again, you have to realize that at this time, if you were thought to be a leper and you thought that you were cured, the only way to have readmittance into the society, be able to see your friends or family, even to go near the village, was you had to first go and see the priest, and the priest had to declare that you were healed of leprosy. And so Jesus tells them to go and take a step of faith and to go show themselves to the priest so they could be admitted back into society, see their families and friends. On the way, they realized that they were healed. Now, 9 of them went to see the priest and then presumably to see their family and friends, and only one returned to Jesus. And that leper fell at his feet before Jesus and gave thanks to Jesus for the healing. And Jesus said, "Where are the other 9? Has only one, this foreigner, come to give thanks?" And with that, he said, "Rise, your faith has made you whole." And we think about that today, and Jesus questioned, "Where are the other 9? You know, all of us have something to give thanks for in our lives. And if you think about the lepers, their situation, all 10, the situation was exactly the same. They might have different families in different places, different friends, maybe even different cities, but they all had leprosy. They're all cut off from society. They're all cut off from their family and friends. And we know coming into holiday season, that's one of the greatest gifts that we can ever have, just relationship with your family and friends. We can only imagine what it's like to not be able to even go and see your sons or your daughters or your grandkids, anything like that. And so they were excited to be able to see their family and their friends. But only one took the time, just a moment, to go back and to say thanks to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Where are the other 9? Paul said also in this passage in Colossians, and there's only 3 short verses here, but in each of the verses, the one note that really rings clear is to giving thanks and having a thankful heart. Let me read it again. He said, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, there's different words that are used for thanks, but one of them, the word gratitude, is really the word charis. And we think about charis, and it really also means grace. Grace. And sometimes when we sit around the table, Thanksgiving time, we say, let's give thanks. And sometimes we all say, let's say grace, right? And the reason there's a real strong relationship in a number of the languages that thanks and grace are really interconnected. And so it really is in God's Word. You think about that for a moment. As we give thanks for the grace of God, we also sort of receive grace to live each and every day of our lives. And if you see a thankful person, they have a certain grace to the life, and they give grace to other people, the lives they touch every day. And so there's a real intertwining connection between thanks and grace in our hearts and lives, and we need to cultivate that. Thomas Merton, the great Trappist monk, said this. He said about the attitude of gratitude, he says it opens the heart up. It opens the heart up. It's like opening up the soil for the seed to be planted there, and that seed grows well because of the open soil. Some years ago, the magazine Esquire sent out and asked a number of prominent writers this question. They said, the answer to the greatest question of life is yes or no, which would it be? Samuel Beckett, the great writer, said, no, life is awful. Isaac Singer, the great writer, also said, he said, yes, life is God's novel, help him write it. What a difference. The same question, great writers, one no, one yes. What's our response today? If the answer to life is yes or no, is our life yes or no? And if you have a thankful heart, there's a certain yes in all that. There's a certain yes. Yes, Lord, even it doesn't say that nothing bad is ever going to happen in our life. It doesn't say that we're not going to face adversity and difficulty at every turn sometimes. But there's a difference. There's always something to give thanks for. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians, and we just finished this work, and right at the heart in chapter 4, it says this, and I just want to read it again because it really rings with a note of thanksgiving this time of year. Paul said, and again, he was writing from prison, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and thanksgiving, with petitions, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, sisters and brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I mean, sometimes things are going not so well, and we have to cultivate thanksgiving. We have to sort of focus on those things we have to be thankful for to give some shape to our lives. Psalm 103 is also one of my favorite psalms, and it too rings with thankfulness. And here's just some of the verses from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases and forgives all your sins, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things. You know, we all have something to give thanks for, and a thankful heart really makes all the difference. I know that you've gone through periods of your life that are difficult, and I have too. I heard about this man who was laying bricks on the roof of a high apartment complex one day, and he had some extra bricks left over, and so he piled them into a 55-gallon drum, and he decided what he'd do is he'd put a knot on that 55-gallon drum, and then he'd put it over a pulley, and he tied it around a tree downstairs, and down at the bottom there of the apartment complex, and so he filled that 55-gallon drum full of bricks, and then he went down below, and he untied the knot, and, well, you probably guessed that a 55-gallon drum is heavier, at least four times heavier than the man, so the 55-gallon drum of bricks went down, and the man went up, and they met halfway, and the man suffered worse than the 55-gallon drum of bricks. The man hit his head on the pulley as he hit the top of the tree. As the barrel came crashing down, the barrel smashed to pieces, and of course, at that point, the bricks were gone, and so, as you probably know, a man weighs more than an empty barrel, and so the man came down, and the barrel went up, and again, the man and the barrel met halfway, and the man didn't do so well, and he hit the ground, and he let go of the rope, and down came the barrel on top of him. Well, some days, it doesn't seem like we can do anything right, but there's always something to give thanks for in all of life. Sometimes the things come along, and in fact, the most difficult things really help us to take that moment and make it our greatest moment in life. There's a great writer by the name of Thomas Carlyle who wrote a history of the French Revolution. He finished this work. It took him a couple years to write this great work, and he gave it to his neighbor, a man by the name of John Stuart Mill, to proofread it for him. And a couple days later, John Stuart Mill came over to this house and knocked on the door of Thomas Carlyle, and he had to apologize because apparently his maid had used it to start a fire in the fireplace. Well, Thomas Carlyle went into this rage. He was so upset about all that, and he wouldn't even talk to John Stuart Mill for I guess, months. And then one day, he was looking out at the stone wall. He had someone repairing it for him, and this mason was going along, and stone by stone, he was repairing the stone wall. And he decided, well, maybe he'd do the same thing, and sort of page by page, he'd rewrite that entire history of the French Revolution. And in fact, he did, and people say that it is his greatest book of all times. You know, it's difficult to go through times like that, but sometimes God uses that in our life to sort of forge us and to try us and to purify us, to make us stronger. And so as we're thankful, it opens up our heart and lives to the great things that God has. Sometimes even in adversity, there's sort of a gift that's there in the midst of all that. Quite some time ago, 60 Minutes had this story on savant geniuses. Now, I don't know if you know much about them, but they're typically people that are severely handicapped, but they have some great gift. And there was a story about this young man at the time by the name of Leslie Linsky. And this woman had adopted him. He had Down syndrome, was severely handicapped. He was also blind. And so she adopted him because his original parents didn't think they could deal with that. And her belief was that God has a gift for everyone, no matter who they are. And she tried and tried to find the gift that he had, and she did different things, and she even gave him a few basic piano lessons, nothing really seemed to take. And then one day they played this classical music, just beautiful classical music. And so she, in the middle of the night, she woke up and she heard this beautiful music playing, and she thought maybe she left the radio on, the classic station. And she went downstairs, and there's this young man who's blind and has Down syndrome, and he is flawlessly playing this incredible piece of music, and she couldn't believe how this could happen. And to this day, no one knows how he could do that, but he could take any piece of music and listen to it, travels the world playing concerts, just because this woman said, well, if God has given someone this kind of handicap, God has also blessed them with some great gift. And so for all of us, maybe amid the hardship, there's something there, some seed, some kernel that God has blessed us with as well, if we'll listen to that, if we'll be open to that. You know, in flight, I talked about before, depending on the attitude of the nose of the plane, they call it attitude, sort of the angle of the nose of the plane, and that determines the altitude of a plane. And in fact, among pilots, there's sort of a mantra that attitude determines altitude, and attitude determines altitude for us, too. You think about our attitude, you know, we all meet some resistance, we all meet some turbulence in life, but our attitude sort of determines the altitude of our hearts and how we respond to what God has given us in life. Today, when you think about Thanksgiving that's coming up this week and a time to celebrate, and for some of us, a time to overindulge a little bit too, but it is a time to be with family, realize that back in the 1620s, when the first pilgrims came to the United States, they came in very, very difficult circumstances, but they gave thanks to God for the opportunity to be here, and that first winter was incredibly difficult. In fact, 46 people died that first winter, the people that came here. There was a new ship that came in the middle of the winter, and it brought 35 new people, but no extra provisions. And for the pilgrims, they struggled with that. In fact, if it weren't for the Native American friends who helped them through that winter, they may not have made it. But one time, they only had 6 kernels of corn per person per day. And in fact, in New England today, in many churches, there are 6 kernels of corn on Thanksgiving Sunday. But they gave thanks for that. And in fact, in the spring came, they finally made it through that harsh winter. They, through the help of the Native American friends, learned to plant corn and to cultivate using fish and some other kinds of things as sort of primitive fertilizer. And that fall, they invited their new friends, the Native Americans, to come to this feast, which was the first Thanksgiving. Interestingly enough, approximately the same number of Native Americans came as people who perished the previous year. Now, you think about that in our lives, you could sort of look at it and say, well, we've lost a lot of dear family, a lot of dear friends. Or you could say, we've had some people that helped us. God has blessed us with a new opportunity. We're going to reach out, open our arms in Thanksgiving, give thanks together with new friends. You and I, this Thanksgiving, have an opportunity to do the same thing, to thank God for the blessings amid the adversity of life and to think how God has blessed us. I want to think about this in closing, this final story, true story, of a man by the name of Martin Rinkhart. Martin Rinkhart was a pastor back in the 1600s of a city by the name of Eilenburg. And during the 30 Years' War, that city became overcrowded with people who sort of fled all this 30 years of war back and forth with nations. And it became so overcrowded, it became susceptible to the bubonic plague or the black plague that swept through Europe. And when that plague broke out after the 30 Years' War, many people died. In fact, Reverend Rinkhart performed 40 to 50 funerals a day. One of them was for his wife. And in all, 4,480 people died from that small city in the course of the next years. Were that not bad enough? After the plague, at the end of the plague, then the Austrian army came and sacked the city. And then after they sacked the city, the Swiss army came and threatened to sack the city. And they wanted 30,000 thalers, which is a high amount of money for that time, in order to not sack the city. So Reverend Rinkhart went out and he negotiated them down to 2,000 thalers and then paid that amount himself. And through all that, he lost really his own health, he lost his wife, he lost many friends. But when you think about his life, you don't think about that. You think about the words from the hymn that he wrote, "Now thank we all our God, with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms have blessed us on our way, with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in God's grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. Oh, praise and thanks to God, who reigns in highest heaven, to Father and to Son and to Spirit now be given, the one eternal God, whom heaven and earth adore, the one who was and is and shall be evermore." All of us are sort of like those lepers. We've been through some adversity. We've been through some difficulties in life. And the question for all of us is, are we like the nine or are we like the one? God would have us to give thanks, to acknowledge the adversity and difficulties we face in life, but to open our hearts in grace and thanksgiving and give thanks to God for all that he's given us. Will you join us in prayer? Gracious God, thank you for the blessings that you've touched our lives with. There's so many. We think of the beauty of creation and a wonderful country in which to live, great family and friends, great sisters and brothers in Christ who encourage us along life's way. And most of all, for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who gave his life that we might know forgiveness and new life. Help us to open our hearts in thanksgiving, not just Thanksgiving Day, but throughout the month and even throughout the year. Bless us. Help us to walk in thanksgiving and to walk in grace and to extend that to others with a grateful heart. In your name, amen.